time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Social media does cause depression, and there are 6 ways to make it a healthier habit. But now a new study from the University of Pennsylvania has finally confirmed what we've all probably known was true all along, somewhere deep down, that excessive time spent on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of these causes depression and loneliness. So there's a new disease, and it's called FOMO, F-O-M-O. And it stands for fear of missing out, FOMO, fear of missing out. And so that cause, there's a causal link between these findings that this study, again, University of Pennsylvania has done, and they're able to show a correlation between the longer time you spend on social media sites, the more negative mental impact and consequences there are, especially for children. And what they did is the researchers monitored about 143 people's daily social media for over a week. That's not a long study, but it was enough to show causality, as well as the level of the range of mental health factors like depression, loneliness. Then the researchers split them into 2 separate groups for the following 3 weeks. One group could use Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat for only 10 minutes each day, for a total of 30 minutes, 10 minutes each, on social media. And the other group was free to use the platforms as much as they wanted. And they all continued the tracking the same mental health factors. Well, the results were crystal clear. People showed a substantial decline in depression and loneliness after they cut back on their social media use. So the bottom line, according to Professor Hunt, a lead psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania who led the study, in a news release, using less social media than you normally would leads to significant decrease in both depression and loneliness. So, you know, that's something. And I think our kids are using too much of that nowadays. They're on. And I know people that wake up in the middle of the night, as an example, and they're actually, what would you call it? They're looking at their social media pages. They're looking at their Instagram, and they're looking at their Facebook pages. So, again, that's something to pay attention to if you're waking up. And it's just like people waking up in the middle of the night and waking up in the middle of the night and checking their, you know, having to have a cigarette, as an example. So,
seems like
anyway.
It seems like they would need to kind of get away for a little while.
Yeah,
Disconnect.
Who was that? My wife was telling me that Ed Sheeran, you know, who's pretty huge. Ed Sheeran is pretty big. And that for a whole year, he didn't use his Facebook or Instagram or use his phone. He just didn't even bring it with him. Yeah. And he cut himself off. And he says his creativity increased dramatically, everything. So I think more and more people are coming to, especially with kids, you know, you got to be careful. And also there's, I've seen a lot of pictures. Someone sent me a whole list of different pictures where you go into a restaurant and here's a family sitting around the restaurant and no one's talking. They're all looking at their own phone and their own messages. So here you see looking, here's this family of 5, husband and wife and 3 kids that maybe are teenagers, and everybody's got their head down looking into their own phone.
I see that picture all the time, and it's sad.
It is. It's sad. Nobody speaks to anybody. I saw there was one couple they're sitting at the same table, and instead of talking to each other, they were texting each other, you know, and it makes everything more impersonal. So this is something that we have to, I think, be cognizant of and be careful. And if you're a parent, just be aware of that and what it does to your kids. Another, and I've talked about this for years and years, about childhood vaccines. And anyway, there's a new study that has come out, and it's posted, we posted that on our website, but it's pediatric cancer has been linked to childhood vaccines, and sobering new trends are being revealed. And it says non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, osteosarcoma, Wilms tumors, neuroblastomas. The rise of these and other types of pediatric cancers have been causing deep concern for public health officials and doctors alike. Well, what's behind the increase in these the prevalence? They're pointing to aggressive campaigning for vaccines. And so the vaccine manufacturers make these vaccines by growing them in controlled laboratory settings, but they use a lot of very caustic chemicals that they add, and biological agents, including cells and tissues from different species and different animals. And so a lot of this information is coming from the World Health Organization, and they're saying up to one-third of polio vaccines were actually causing, they had the active strains of simian SV40 virus in the original from kidney monkey cells. And vaccines are now being made with genetically modified cells which mimic cancer cell growth. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has now licensed so-called continuous cell lines for use in vaccine manufacturing. They're also finding that there's human fetal cells from abortions that are in these vaccines. So there's a lot of these chemicals that produce an immune response. And according to the American Cancer Society, 11,000 American children aged 15 or younger will be diagnosed with pediatric cancers every year. And the incidence rates have been steadily increasing for decades. And this correlation is that they've been increasing at the same rate that the amount of vaccines have been increasing. So I think parents need to be very concerned about what age. I think vaccines below 2 years old, below 3 years old, is too early. Especially as an example, the hepatitis B vaccine that's given at birth, there's no immune system. It takes at least 8 days for that to occur. And so I think pediatric cancer now is the second leading cause of death for children between the ages of 1 and 14. So that's something to be aware of. And again, I think, you know, it's something that we really need to be aware of as far as vaccines. And I'm not saying don't do vaccines. I'm saying be careful about how many vaccines you do at one time. There was one article that I wanted to talk about that is how to prevent cancer. And one of the most important studies, it came out in the Journal of the Annals of Epidemiology, and you've heard me talk about it before, but it is maintaining optimal vitamin D levels is the key to preventing most cancers. And there's a lot of conflicting advice about vitamin use, and in this instance, a few vocal experts show that vitamin D When it comes to vitamin D, they're all in agreement that maintaining optimum levels could mean the difference between developing cancer or not. And a study published in the Annals of the Journal of the Epidemiology concluded that raising the minimum serum levels of vitamin D to at least 60 nanograms per ml per milliliter could prevent as many as 58,000 new breast cancers for women and 49,000 new colorectal cancers in the U.S. and Canada each year. That's you know, that's 100,000 cancer deaths each year. So that's something to be. And I talk about it that the average person, even the average child, needs at least 2,000 or 3,000 units of vitamin D. The average adult anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 units of vitamin D. I have 2,000 in prime longevity. And I put that in there so that people can still take another 5,000 unit vitamin D pill and make that so that, you're getting 7,000 units of vitamin D. And that's a good optimal number of vitamin D per day. And that really will help you prevent cancer.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Can you talk about cardiomyopathy and what can help? Thanks.
Oh, that's a very good question. Cardiomyopathy is when the heart starts to swell up, and it can get fluid around the heart, but it's the beginning of congestive heart failure, and that's a very serious condition. And over the years, what I've talked about and what the research has shown is that when you give two specific nutrients, that you can actually help reverse cardiomyopathy. Now, with the latest research over the years, we've added a number other of the nutrients. But the two main nutrients that help to reverse cardiomyopathy are the vitamin E, and that's the whole vitamin E complex, not just the tocotrienols or the tocopherols, but it's the alpha, beta, gamma on both tocopherols and tocotrienols. And when you add that to at least 200 to even up to 600 micrograms of selenium, that can help to reverse the cardiomyopathy, which is, we think, a deficiency. Now, Linus Pauling called most of congestive heart failures a deficiency of vitamin C complex and bioflavonoids. So along with the vitamin E and the selenium, we've added a couple other nutrients. One is the vitamin C, and we use a time-release vitamin C by Nature Sunshine, and it's 1,000 milligrams full spectrum. And the other one that we use is L-lysine. Linus Pauling would talk about doing that in a 2-to-1 ratio. So we use the 1,000 milligram vitamin C to the 500 milligram L-lysine. And you take that twice a day. And then the other couple of nutrients that we've added is coenzyme Q10, because that helps with the mitochondria. And the mitochondria, there's more mitochondria in heart muscles than any other tissue of the body. And the mitochondria is where energy is produced. Okay, so we add the CQ10. And don't be fooled by the advertising about ubiquinol. You'll see a lot of advertising on TV and magazines where they say, don't be fooled by CQ10. Don't take ubiquinone, take ubiquinol. And they'll talk about how ubiquinol has been more absorbable. Well, they'll show you, yes, in a petri dish, But what they don't tell you is any form, all the CQ10 that you take, whether it's in the ubiquinol form, when you take it orally, all forms of CQ10 in the stomach, because of the stomach acid, turn to ubiquinone, and it goes into the intestines and it's absorbed in the intestines, and then it gets changed in the bloodstream either to ubiquinone or ubiquinol. Both forms are needed, and but don't be taken in by the hype of the much, much more expensive ubiquinol, because they'll tell you it's more absorbable. No, it isn't. Again, in a petri dish is one thing, but when you take it orally, all that ubiquinol turns to ubiquinone. But we have added that to any of the heart programs. And then the other thing that we added is the herb hawthorn berry. And you can get that in a extract. You can get that in a liquid extract, hawthorn berries, or you can get it in the raw herb, capsulated. And again, we use Nature's Sunshine, the hawthorn berry. I think it's one of the better products. And that is excellent product to use. So this is the way you can actually help reverse cardiomyopathy. I've done it quite often in my clinic with patients that come in with congestive heart failure, and we put them on the vitamin C, the L-lysine, and of course I put them on Prime Longevity, because Prime Longevity is something that I created that has all of those nutrients. It has 120 milligrams per dose, 6 pills per day as a dose. You can take 2 breakfast, 2 lunch, 2 dinner, or 3 breakfast and 3 dinner, but you'll get 120 milligrams of CQ10. You'll get 120 milligrams of lipoic acid. You'll get 120 milligrams of resveratrol. You'll get pomegranate extract. And then for the heart, I put in both L-carnitine and acetyl L-carnitine, and both of those have been shown to affect the heart and the heart rhythms and help to reverse congestive heart failure. The acetyl L-carnitine, and I have an article, maybe I can find it, actually the acetyl form is one of the forms that crosses the blood-brain barrier and helps with depression. So anyway, that's how to reverse us about how to just really know how to reverse congestive heart failure, cardiomyopathy. And again, you want to get the good forms. We use, again, Prime Longevity, Nature's Sunshine. Also, there's essential oils that can really help. But Copaiba is one. That's the CBD oil. They're finding that that CBD oil can help the immune system. It can help the nervous system. It helps the brain. It's really one of those new super formulas. And the new doTERRA Copaiba, which is also the CBD, comes from a Brazilian tree. So if you are concerned about taking a drug test, you will be able to pass a drug test, as there is no THC. Anyway, the next article that I want to talk about, and this is pretty radical, and we've been talking about this over the years, but there are more than 10,000 chemicals in food and in food packaging. And the question becomes, what are these substances doing to our children? We're talking polychlorinated bisphenols, PCBs. We're talking dioxins and mercury and pesticides and aluminum and heavy metals and insecticides and herbicides and all of these different chemicals. Now, the majority of additives in the U.S. foods have undergone either inadequate or zero regulatory oversight, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And this is according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. And they just issued a policy statement about the risks to our children's health of the more than 10,000 chemicals directly or indirectly added to the food and food contact materials. In the U.S., with three primary aims, to review and highlight the significant health concerns. These are the aims of the American Academy of Pediatrics. One, they want to review and highlight the significant health concerns associated with the chemicals in foods. Two, they want to formulate recommendations that most pediatricians can share with the families that they treat. And number three, to propose urgently needed reforms pertaining to the regulation of food additives by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And public health challenges related to foods in the American children that they eat are not infrequent topic of national conversations. With 38, almost 40% of all children are either overweight or obese. Childhood obesity is epidemic, and it tends to list the concerns of almost any pediatrician. And also, children are consuming nothing but fast foods and the damaging effects of junk food and junk food advertising on children. And so they're also eating huge amounts of ultra-processed foods and beverages, defined as products resulting from several sequences of industrial processes, including additives used to imitate sensory properties of foods or to disguise unpalatable aspects of the final product. They add sugars and salts and chemicals that produce flavors that children love. So again, the intake of these ultra-processed foods and the intake of processed foods from 2007 to 2012 has increased by over 68%. That's more than two-thirds of total calories consumed by children. And these additive-filled processed foods are the bulk of calories. It's noteworthy that the American Academy of Pediatrics has just issued a policy statement about the risk to children's health on these 10,000 different products, directly or indirectly. And they published this in the July issue this year of the journal Pediatrics. And they had a commentary on those three reviews that I talked about. So children and chemical exposure are becoming more and more artificial food colorings, synthesized foods, aluminum bound in foods and bound in, it's a metal known with neurotoxic properties. And in 2016, an analysis of 810 different products just from a single grocery store highlighted the pervasive presence of these artificial food colorings and products marketed to children. So we're looking at ADD and cancers and behavioral problems and just so many symptoms that foods have increased. And the FDA has increased more than fivefold these artificial food colorings and chemicals since the 50s. And the current FDA-endorsed daily amount of again, they go up as high as 70 different milligrams per person per day of these chemicals, and that it's totally okay. And again, we in the natural healthcare movement do not think that these adhesives and dyes and coatings and coatings on things are appropriate. 10,000 chemicals in foods and food packaging. What are these substances doing to our children?
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Good morning, Vince.
Hey. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, very, very good. I want to thank you for joining us. Where are you calling from?
Just Just real quick, I am in Salt Lake.
Oh, okay,
but,
cool.
A beautiful sunny morning. We had a little snow overnight, but it's just a little frosting on the ground. Looking good, but it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, just real quick, I wanted to remind everybody. Well, first of all, I heard you talking about frankincense and, you know, that it's going to be free this month. I heard you talking a little bit about just the overall health of our children. And, you know, how their ADD, ADHD, and a lot of these other conditions are really causing havoc in our world because of some of the chemicals and some of the other things that are going into their bodies these days. And I just wanted to tell one little story that I'm going to say it was last year in El Paso. A little boy, and he had a twin brother. And the one little boy had a condition where he just didn't want to play with the other kids. He was recluse and he would just hang by himself, and they used a little bit of frankincense on this boy's head, the twin brother, and he was able to go outside, play basketball, start playing with the other kids, because this particular oil, frankincense, was able to break the blood-brain barrier, help the boy with you know, gaining some confidence and gaining some self-esteem and able to get out there and play with the other kids. Essential oils have this effect on people. And I guess what I was trying to say is frankincense is an incredible oil, and it deserves the respect that why did this oil go to our Christ child?
Exactly.
Why is frankincense such a, you know, wonderful oil?
And actually, when you look at it, it comes from the Boswellia tree, and it has boswellic acid in it. And boswellic acid, we now know, is one of the strongest known anti-inflammatories. And frankincense has now been studied all over, and it has all kinds of anti-cancer properties. So they're finding more and more benefits from these essential oils. And whether you rub it on your skin or you use it in aromatherapy, I actually have an article that, while you were talking, I just pulled it up right in front of me, and it says essential oils can be used to increase your chances of survival in almost any kind of a situation. And the article goes on to say that essential oils are concentrated extracts derived from plants. They contain various compounds that contribute to its distinct scent and flavor. And many people use them for therapeutic properties in a practice called aromatherapy. And that's a form of alternative medicine. And essential oils can be used in different ways. They can be applied directly to the skin, where they can then be absorbed directly into the body. And they can also be used in simply by inhaling them, are putting them in a diffuser, and it fills the room with their aroma. And what I would want to explain, when you fill that room with aroma, it's the microscopic little droplets of the oil, and they all have antibacterial and antiviral components to it. So it's one of the ways that actually you can help prevent disease by using a diffuser. And we even teach owners of businesses that you want to protect your employees. You can get a diffuser, put in the different essential oils, and actually have those oils in the room, and you'll cut your flu and colds and respiratory infections dramatically. Essential oils can also be used in your bathing or during a massage session. They even have one called, what is it, the Aroma Touch now, I think. Correct, Vince? That and they teach that, and people can learn to do.
Oh, absolutely. The olfactory system in our nose is one of the most powerful ways that we can, you know, get emotions. We can get, I mean, you remember back in the day when, you know, your mom or your grandma cooked, gosh, whatever it is she cooked, and you remember what that was. And, you know, in mine, I always remember chocolate chip cookies. They were my favorite.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
You know, It's just one of those that the olfactory system, our nose, our sense of smell, our brain connection with that sense of smell has so much to do with how essential oils work within our olfactory system. One thing I wanted to remind everybody of, sorry guys, but I'm working in my store today too, but I just want to remind everybody, especially those that are involved in doTERRA, and maybe some of you that are not involved in doTERRA, frankincense, which once again is a miraculous oil that helps us all with, you know, doing so many things within the body. But, you know, for those of you that are already in doTERRA, order the things that we need for the season. You know, our Breathe, our On Guard, our Lifelong Vitality Pack, some of the things that we need to stock up on.
Vince and his brother Al, they're some now experts in essential oils. This article that I was referring to, they talk about the benefits of essential oils in aromatherapy, and they list them. One of the main benefits is it can reduce chronic stress and anxiety. It can actually help to balance out the hormonal stresses that people have. Too much cortisol, imbalances between estrogen and progesterone, and estrogen and testosterone. And they're saying lavender and bergamot and lemongrass and clary sage, lang lang and orange and chamomile and frankincense all can be effectively used against stress in the aromatherapy. The second thing, it can maintain the hormonal balance that I was talking about, responses to estrogen overactivity. They're talking about clary sage, thyme, and rose essential oils. They can help you improve sleep, especially Roman chamomile and lavender and lang lang and valerian and neroli and cedarwood and frankincense. They can promote wound healing because your skin is the first line of defense. And some of the best, they're all the essential oils are antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. They all have these properties. Tea tree oil or melaleuca, lavender, and calendria. And then the last two, it can help prevent colds and flu. So when winter is fast approaching in the flu season, again, you can use these antiviral, antibacterial activity. And again, when you look at eucalyptus and thyme and peppermint and melaleuca and frankincense, they can all really help. And the last one is by putting the diffuser, it helps to eliminate bacteria from your home. So it really does pay to have the diffusers. And again, thyme, oregano, eucalyptus oils are all known for their antimicrobial activities. So again, you can use all of these essential oils, especially when things aren't going well in society and you need that little boost. Well, this is the way to do it. And it's a very inexpensive way to do it. And again, we think doTERRA is one of the best. Prime Longevity, it's one of the top anti-aging true health insurance products you can buy. And it has everything. And the price is really quite low for what it has in it. When you price out 120 milligrams of CQ10 per month, 120 milligrams of resveratrol, or 120 milligrams of lipoic acid, or all of these other things that are in there, you'll find that the cost can go up into the hundreds of dollars. And when you look at primelongevity.com, and you can go on there, so take advantage of it. It really does have and do what it says. You can look at some of the comments that people have made, and it's really made a difference in their lives, whether you're an athlete or you're suffering from some kind of condition, and it really does. It's the best on the market today. Next article I really want to talk about is the chronic sick care industrial complex. And there are five very harmful health narratives that the U.S. government and the chronic sick care industry industrial complex will never abandon. And it's only 80 years ago that you can think back that to the time of World War II and Adolf Hitler. Well, there's been research after research, and it has been shown without big pharma, without the pharmaceutical companies of the 1940s, Adolf Hitler, the German politician, demagogue, and leader of the Nazi Party, absolutely would not have become the reckoning force he was. Period. End of story. And it wasn't a conspiracy, or it wasn't a side venture. The pharmaceutical industry at the time was essentially Adolf Hitler's weapon of mass destruction, and it was called IG Farben. I can't pronounce what it actually stood for. He had his war plan like no other in history, and involved using chemicals against the enemy, even in war camps. And he used deadly chemicals to pollute the food and the medicine of his enemies, and Hitler conquered countries like it was nothing, one at a time. So creating disease and disorders and death using toxic food and chemical medicines is nothing new. So back then, Hitler's plan, it was only just the beginning. And today in America, food and medicine are weapons of mass destruction. I talked an article before about the more than 10,000 chemicals in the food. But more than 200 million Americans have no idea, because nothing is taught like this in schools. And it's not printed in the newspapers, nor is it broadcast on television. And today, chemicals and synthetic pesticides and sodium fluoride contaminate U.S. tap water. And it's not just some fallout of a bad decision. The IG Farben pharmaceutical conglomerate simply morphed into what is now known as the U.S. Big Pharma. Today it's like one huge war machine working to create processed, dead, toxic food. Think of fast food and GMOs. And for a foolproof formula that literally creates diseases and disorders. So the five things that they will really never give up is that they want to convince Americans that cancer, heart disease, and dementia are inherited. And nothing can be further from the truth. All of the genetic problems that people have, those genes are not expressed except through lifestyle. So when you have a complete lifestyle of garbage, adulterated food full of toxic pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides, and you're eating those for 10, 20, 30, even 50 years, it builds up on you. So it doesn't take much when you switch to a steady, organic, plant-based diet. When you do that for 6 straight months, you can watch your health issues just disintegrate. Cancer and heart disease and dementia barely existed in the U.S. more than a century ago. So how could it be that the evolution of genes has changed overnight? They didn't. What has changed is the sharp contrast in the food that we eat. We're eating nothing but adulterated GMO, chemically toxic food. The next one that they'll never give up is that the immune system destroying toxins in vaccines. Deep down in your soul, you want to believe that the American medicine is the best in the world. But there's a reason we're near the bottom of the list of developed countries when it comes to the quality of health care. Vaccines contain toxins no mother would ever that has ever lived would feed to her baby. But somehow the vaccine industry has brainwashed over 200 million adults into believing that these same toxins that are injected into muscle tissue is safe and effective as disease prevention. And researching the effects of injecting deadly pig viruses into babies, or human fetal cells, or formaldehyde, or thermosil, or mercury, and you're just underestimating the dangers that these hundreds of carcinogens found in vaccines. Number three is chemotherapy is a mainstream treatment for cancer. You notice that they don't talk about oxygen therapy. They don't talk about dietary therapy. They don't talk about herbs, vitamins, minerals, enzymes. They talk about that only chemotherapy and radiation are the mainstream treatments for cancer. And chemotherapy is a poison. And if you didn't know that, it is a fact. And many people die each year from the chemotherapy, and more people die each year from the chemotherapy than from their cancers. Chemo only works an average of about 3-4% of the time. And those are statistics from the American Medical Association. Would you fly in a plane that only had 3% chance of landing without crashing? Well, chemo is archaic, and German scientists have studied it. They knew that the cancer tumors that were rescinded and that they came back with a vengeance shortly thereafter the chemotherapy were highly now resistant to chemotherapy and radiation. Number two is the chemical-based and opiate-based pharmaceuticals. We now have a huge toxic overdose of opiate-based pharmaceuticals with thousands of people, actually tens of thousands of people dying each year because of opioids. And of course, I talked about China because most of that stuff is coming from China. And prescription medications are killing huge numbers of people. And number one is fluoridated tap water, that they're convincing everybody that you need to have fluoride in your drinking water. And so do you know anything about the phosphate mining industry? Most people don't. Well, here's a quick history lesson. If you didn't learn it right now, you'll end up cutting years off your life. By that the toxic industries that fluoride was a byproduct of the phosphate mining industries and also from the fertilizer industries. And so the fluoride, they found that they could put that into the water supply and that it actually was a mind control element, and it was studied by the Nazis. And it caused sodium fluoride caused apathy and enragement. It also causes brittle bones and lowered IQ and dementia before it even before people can even collect their retirement money. So it's a biggest one of the biggest health lies ever that it helps you with dental. The pharmaceutical companies gave huge amounts of money to the dental colleges to support fluoridated tap water. And, of course, all you have to do is just follow the money. So those are the top symptoms that are because of the pharmaceutical and chemical industry. And, again, I'm not saying that sometimes chemicals aren't needed to save your life, but they shouldn't be handed out like candy and hard candies and everything else. They're used when appropriate, and then you stop as soon as you can when it's appropriate. And by the way, I just found that article I was mentioning that I put into Prime Longevity, both forms of carnitine, the L-carnitine for the heart and the acetyl L-carnitine, which crosses the blood-brain barrier that improves symptoms of depression. And I found this, the article, and again, it's it shows this was published in the Journal of Psychosomatic Medicine, and it says supplementing with the acetyl L-carnitine helps to reduce the symptoms of depression.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And thank you very much, and we are back. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and this is Natural Solutions Radio, the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. By the way, the website for Prime Longevity is just that, www.primelongevity.com. If you want to add the best form of true health insurance on the market, it's Prime Longevity, and I designed that to have all of the top nutrients you just cannot eat. So take advantage of it. One of the articles that just came out, and I've talked about it a little bit throughout this show, is Buyer Beware. And foods coming from China have all been proven to be contaminated. Okay, and if you opened up your refrigerator or pantry right now, would you be able to identify where everything inside them originated? If you're like most people, there's a good chance the answer to this question is no. And you could end up be paying for a very steep price for this ignorance, and that price is your own health. And it seems like that a lot of food sold throughout the world comes from China, where the standards leave a lot to be desired. In fact, the founder of a company called Insatech that uncovers fraud and malpractice in the food industry, Mitchell Weinberg, and he's the CEO, said that while they uncover this type of fraud around 70% of the time overall, in China, it's close to 100% in China. Now, do you really want to eat anything that comes from the same country where baby formula was laced with melanin and rat meat was sold as lamb? And so here are some of the top foods that you just have to be careful of when it comes to China. Number one is fish, and the water pollution is out of control in China. So it only makes sense to avoid consuming anything that once swam in its dirty waters. So do not buy farmed, raised fish, especially from China. And more than half of all the tilapia and the cod that are sold in the U.S. were grown on Chinese fish farms. So it's not uncommon to find heavy metals like lead or mercury in the fish. The next product that you have to be careful of is a product that you would never think that this would come up on the radar. The Chinese people have a reputation for loving their rice, and because so much of it is grown there, it isn't surprising that a lot of the rice sold in North America comes from that country. Well, the unfortunate, because China has been exporting what is known as plastic rice, and that's little more than a mix of resins and potato starch. And they're shaping it into that of rice. And it they put the flavor of rice, and you can't taste the difference. But it's much cheaper, and they're doing that. And that's a lot of the rice coming out of China. So, again, what you want to do is make sure you're buying 100% organic. The next thing, the food is garlic. And you've heard of all the health benefits of garlic. Yet if you're eating garlic that comes from China, it might have the opposite effect on your health, as Chinese garlic has been found to be loaded with methyl bromide and other heavy-duty pesticides, with as much as a third of the garlic sold in the U.S. originating from China. You need to be very vigilant and avoid the potential dangers of those foods. Again, buy as much as you can organic. First, the organic is going to have, especially California organic, there you can be trust assured that it is organic, and California has the highest standards. But then you're not going to consume all of these pesticides and herbicides and fungicides that are in the foods. So you have to be careful. And only a short period of time of eating organic foods can really begin that process of cleaning you out and actually helping you get rid of all these toxins and rebuilding your immune system and your nervous system and connective tissue, and really just helping the entire, all of the elimination organs go on overdrive, and they help to get rid of all those toxins you've been storing. The next food that you would not really be normally think of is apple juice. And it may sound oddly specific, but the Chinese apple juice was singled out by Alternative Daily for several reasons. First is the fact that the government had restricted the import of apples from China for a long time. And it was a serious step that indicates that there were major problems with apples and apple juice. A few years ago, health officials discovered that apple juice imported from China contained antifreeze, and that that was showing a pretty big problem. So any apple juice that's grown in toxin-laced Chinese soil is an apple that you definitely want to avoid, and certainly you would want to avoid juice from those apples. The next one is green peas. Now, rice isn't the only food that scammers are trying to fake in China. Counterfeit green peas have been found that are made of using sodium metabisulfate, soy, and green dye, and small amounts of real green peas. But think of that. You're not buying green peas. You're buying drugs, sodium metabisulfate, soy, and green dye. The last food mushrooms. And if you thought fake peas and rice sounded bad, you will definitely be turned off when you learn that Chinese mushrooms have prompted safety concerns around the world. The farmers there have been known to add formaldehyde, sulfur dioxide to make them appear fresher. Read the labels carefully, because about a third of the processed mushrooms that are consumed in America originate in China. Now, Chinese food regulations are notoriously lax, and widespread government corruption means that few regulations that they do have, and they are rarely upheld. When you buy food from China, you're taking a gamble on your health and possibly your life. So, again, I would certainly be careful, I'm hoping that the organic industry is still going to China to check, because there's a lot of organic frozen food that comes from China. And it used to be that the organic industry in the United States would go to China and check on those companies to make sure that they were truly organic. I don't know on that how it's happening, whether they're still doing that. So, again, as much as possible, buy organic food from local farms or organic frozen food from the United States. And I guess specifically if it comes from California, then you can rest assured that if it says organic, then it really is organic. I see there was a question about the ketogenic diet. Is it bad to be on long term? And if so, why? And does the thyroid need a certain amount of, let me see, of carbs for proper function? Okay, now the ketogenic diet, there's different types of ketogenic diets. There's the Atkins kind of ketogenic diet, which allows all kinds of processed meats, bologna and salami and sausage and pepperonis and processed peanut butters and nut butters and processed fats. And that's, you know, they, again, they cook in canola oil and all of these different kinds of fats. So when you're on a ketogenic diet full of those kinds of chemicals, then I would say, no, it's not a good diet. But a general ketogenic diet, again, and I think there's a fear of carbohydrates. And if you're eating whole grain carbohydrates like amaranth and quinoa, and you're eating carbs like sweet potatoes and yams and purple potatoes, and the rice that you're buying is black rice or purple rice or wild rice, you're going to do much better. Even in the wheat, a lot of people think they might be sensitive to the gluten. Now, if you're sensitive to gluten, you'd have a lot of stomach pain and diarrhea. And if you're not having a lot of stomach pain and diarrhea, you're probably okay to gluten. But I would still buy, when it comes to wheat, I would either buy the sprouted grain tortillas or the sprouted grain flatbreads or the sprouted grain bread in the frozen food section. These are all in the frozen food, like Essene bread or Ezekiel breads. And those are sprouted grains. Now, I think rye bread is a little better than wheat bread. It's the gluten is a shorter chain. It's not the same. Oat bran, oat breads, again, if they're organic, you know, then not so bad. It's not, who doesn't want a piece of bread or toast or something? So, again, but if you're eating the right kinds of carbs, I don't think you're going to have an issue unless you're real sensitive to the carbs. And again, you want to have healthy fats. And the healthy fats are things like cooking in coconut oil or using Kerrygold butter, which is a butter that comes from it comes from Ireland. And Ireland is called the Emerald Isle, the Green Ireland. And by law in Ireland, cows can only eat grass. So imagine the richness of the Kerrygold butter. The other healthy fats that you want would be things like coconut oil, cooking in coconut oil, or cooking in avocado oil, or eating avocados, using olive oil, cold-pressed olive oils, virgin olive oils, and I would buy California olive oil because it's rated one of the highest in the world. And a lot of the olive oils coming from Europe have been adulterated with cheap cottonseed oil and canola oils. So you want to get, but olive oil is one of the healthiest oils, and you can mix that with your salad dressing. Flax oil with your salad dressing. Eating walnuts and almonds and pecans and the raw nuts and seeds like sesame seeds or sesame butter called tahini, or any of the nut butters like walnut butter and pecan butter, cashews. The only cashews I would get would be make sure that they're coming from the United States. I don't trust most of the cashews grown in third world. They have a chemical in it, and they have to be boiled for at least 30 minutes to get that chemical out. And I don't know that they're being done properly, so I avoid most cashews. But then pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, all of those are the healthy kinds of fats that you want to eat. Olives, black olives and green olives, and those big green olives stuffed with an almond or stuffed with a garlic. Those are just really very, very healthy, and you can see these islands in most of the supermarkets now that have the olive islands in the center are very, very, really quite beneficial, and they're very tasty. So black olives, if you buy olives in the can, make sure you're buying where it says natural and there's no chemicals added, and that'll really make a difference. So those are the healthy way to do a healthy ketogenic diet. And it doesn't have to be pure ketogenic. Now, I use in my cancer programs a modified ketogenic diet that's almost a vegan ketogenic diet. Very little animal proteins, very little carbohydrates. It depends upon what stage your cancer is in and whether you're in remission or metastasized or just a primary cancer. But we make sure that's the kind of diet we use on that. So the other thing that I do on that ketogenic diet for cancer is to make sure you're on a low methionine. Methionine is an amino acid that cancer loves, that amino acid. So you can get a list of foods with how much methionine is in it and just always eat the foods that have the lowest amount of methionine. And that would be under, say, 65 or 75 when you look at that number. We are now entering the flu season. And autumn and winter arrives and it brings colder weather, wetter weather. It also brings beautiful, colorful leaves and what the environment and fresh smells outside. But it also ushers in something much less welcome, and that's the beginning of flu season and the potential for fevers and body aches and sniffles and coughs, plus an endless promotion of toxic remedies like the flu shot. So to ease symptoms, conventionally trained doctors may prescribe Tamiflu, which is considered the gold standard for flu medication. But the possible side effects include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, and coughing, which are all the same symptoms of the flu. And for this, a medication that only shortens the duration of the flu by 1 day at most, and that's from the Centers for Disease Control. And they acknowledge that out of about almost 1,200 seasonal flu samples, that about 99.6% of them were resistant to the drug Tamiflu. So to help with flu symptoms, that can be eliminated naturally without the need for toxic drugs, is some of the things you want to do is enhance your immune system and to help you avoid the flu entirely. And number one, which is considered the rock star of natural flu treatment, vitamin C is a powerful antioxidant. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's an immune system boosting vitamin, and mega doses of this vitamin can enhance your body's response to any kind of oxidative stress. It reduces the inflammation and stimulates the natural antibodies. So I use the 1,000 milligram from Nature Sunshine, the time release vitamin C. That's the full spectrum vitamin C, and I take that at least three times a day. And in 1999, there was a journal in the Journal of Manipulative and Physiological Therapy. Researchers found that megadoses of vitamin C, especially it taken in the first 6 hours when you feel the first symptoms of the flu, and then 1,000 milligrams at least three times a day, cut the severity of the cold and flu symptoms by a stunning 85%. The next one is using essential oils, and some of the strongest essential oil is oregano oils, and its key ingredients are thymol and carvacrol. And they have antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory properties. Now, with oregano oil, you may need to dilute it with a carrier oil because it's really pretty strong. And also melaleuca oil and frankincense and clove oil and cinnamon oil. All of these could be put in diffusers or in water, and you can actually drink them. And with doTERRA, you can look at it because it'll have for internal use. The other one is, next one is olive leaf extract, and you can buy that in capsules, and it's a potent antiviral properties, and olive leaf extract is available by Nature Sunshine, and it can help the body clear the influenza virus fairly rapidly. Next one is ginger root. You can either take it in capsules, dried ginger or fresh ginger, or you can make it into tea, and you can drink ginger tea throughout the day, and it will also reduce all of the symptoms, the nausea and the vomiting. It's often used to alleviate those, especially if people are on chemotherapy. Ginger is used often for nausea and vomiting. So next one is elderberry extract, and we have one called Elderberry Defense. Next one is eucalyptus oil, again, as part of the essential oils. The mineral zinc, you can take about 25 to 35 milligrams of zinc, and that's going to help. Echinacea, golden seal, and the last, vitamin D. And at the first symptom of a cold or a flu, you can take 50,000 units of vitamin D3 and also probiotics, eating things like sauerkraut. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Eliezer Ben-Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.